What would drive a sinful woman to be so hurt yet full of faith that she would wash the feet of Jesus with her tears? Listen to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Why is she such a picture of worship? A picture of a woman who pleased God. Why? Everybody knew she was a prostitute. Everybody knew who she was, and you can just imagine what she had been doing and the sin in her life, and her sin was all outward. Why was her worship so accepted? Because she was so aware of her sinfulness. Are you aware of yours?
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from his heart.
Maybe you've fallen into the routine of worship, feeling like your praise and devotion to God is acceptable because, well, you're a good person, and who could have a problem with anyone as nice as you, right? Well, this is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who wants you to hear God's hope for you, that you would get a true picture of yourself as seen through His eyes and heart of grace. And it's that grace that leads us to experience true worship. Now, we're not talking here about the style of worship, but the heart of worship, the heart you have when you worship, and the heart you have for worship. The lesson today is called The Grace of Worship from Pastor Jeff Shreve's series, The Heart of Worship, Worshiping God in Spirit and Truth. We'll have more information about this series a little bit later. Now, last time, Pastor Jeff began by explaining the first of three encouragements that prepare our hearts for worship. And they are that Jesus, number one, wants you to come to Him. And number two, He wants you to come to Him just as you are. And number three, He wants you to lay your burdens at His feet and pour out your heart to Him. Right now, have your Bible open to Luke chapter 7 as we pick up right there. Here's Pastor Jeff to explain further the grace of worship.
Not only does Jesus want you to come to Him, Jesus wants you to learn from Him. Now things get a little dicey here because Jesus is at the home of a Pharisee and a prostitute comes and everyone knows she's a prostitute and she is touching him. She is unclean and she is touching him and it's an awkward situation. She is weeping. She is wiping her feet with her hair, his feet with her hair. She's anointing his feet with this perfume. This is like awkward. What are we supposed to do? And Simon the Pharisee, you know what he says? He's just in shock. And he says to himself, this guy's supposed to be a prophet? If this man were a prophet, he's thinking this, if this man were a prophet, wouldn't he know what kind of woman this is that's touching him? I mean, prophets are supposed to tell us things we don't know. This guy doesn't even know the things we do know. Everyone knows she's a sinner. Everyone knows she's a prostitute. Everyone knows she's unclean. Everyone knows she's not supposed to be here, and you're not supposed to be receiving this from her. She is filthy, lowlife, riffraff. Verse 40, Jesus answered and said to him. Isn't that funny? Jesus answered and said to him. Well, Simon hasn't said anything to Jesus. He's just thinking things. You're not really a prophet. So what does Jesus do? He answers his thoughts. Well, I'm not a prophet, huh? That's what you're thinking? Let me tell you something, Simon. I know what you're thinking. So Jesus answered him and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. He goes into a parable. One owed 500 denarii. That's a day's wage, about a year and a half's day's wage. And the other 50, a couple of months' pay. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. Jesus tells a parable about forgiveness. Now, what are the things that we need to learn from that parable? Number one, forgiveness comes only through grace. You can't be forgiven any other way except through grace. He said when they were unable to pay in verse 41, he graciously forgave them. Grace is involved with forgiveness. You can't get forgiveness any other way than through grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, The Apostle Paul tells the Ephesians, he says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit of disobedience. And you were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Bad news for you, people. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when you were dead in sin, God raised you up in Christ, for by grace you've been saved. That's in parentheses in my Bible. And then it goes on to say in verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. It's by grace. He graciously forgave them both. Forgiveness comes about only through grace. And forgiveness comes at a great price. There is no forgiveness without a price. See, in this story, one guy owed 500 days' wages and the other guy 50. Well, think about it this way. Let's say you're here and you make $40,000 a year. 500 days' wages, roughly a year and a half's worth of work, maybe a little more. Somebody owes $50,000 or $60,000. Owes you that much money. Somebody else owes you, you know, maybe $6,000. Well, if somebody owes you $6,000 or $7,000 and you graciously forgive him, you're out $6,000 or $7,000, right? Now, if somebody owes you $50,000 or $60,000 and you graciously forgive him, you're out $50,000 or $60,000. It's not like, well, I just wiped the slate clean and nobody suffers anything. I mean, the $60,000 fairy doesn't come and just deposit that back in your account. You're out the money. When you forgive someone something, you're out that money. Forgiveness comes with a debt. Now, you are letting the other person off the hook. They're not having to pay you back, but then you incur the debt. I remember when I was in high school, I was driving to work. I had a summer job, worked for Cypress Fairbanks Independent School District in their maintenance department in the summer. And I was with my buddies and we were driving. We had to get to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I was pulling out onto Jones Road right there in the Houston area. And the woman that was in front of me, she turned out and it was lots of traffic. And so I was looking to see, can I go, can I go, can I go? Well, unbeknownst to me, when she pulled out, her car died. And so I wasn't looking in front of me. I was looking to see, can I go, can I go, can I go? And so I gunned it to get into the lane and her car was right there and bam, I hit her. And I remember we got out of the car and she goes, oh, I'm having car trouble and my car died and now you hit me. And I was obviously clearly at fault and there was a dent there in her car and she looked at me, high school kid. She said, are you a pastor? No, she didn't really say it. She didn't say that. She looked at me and she just thought to herself, "What? I'm not gonna mess up this kid's life." She goes, don't worry about it. My husband will take care of it. I said, great, thanks. Got in my car, drove to work. Her husband would take care of it. But you know what? Her husband had to pay to fix the car. He took care of it. They let me off the hook. I didn't have to pay for it, but her husband had to pay for it. Somebody had to pay for it. Why? Because to forgive a debt is to incur that debt yourself. Hey, there is no forgiveness without a price. There is no salvation without the cross. In this parable, both of the people, whether it was 50 denarii or 500 denarii, neither one of them could pay. They both were unable to pay. And you have a sin debt you can't pay. And I have a sin debt I can't pay. And yours might be 50 and mine might be 500. It doesn't matter. We can't pay it. He graciously forgives. But he does it with a price. He goes to the cross. Jesus said, Father, they can't pay, so I will pay for them. And he paid a debt he did not owe because you and I had a debt we could not pay. And what did he pay? It's not 50 denarii. It's not 500 denarii. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, knowing that you are not redeemed. And the word redeemed means bought back. Bought with a price. You are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, unblemished and spotless. the blood of Christ. Wow. You talk about a payment that was made. Acts tells us that we were purchased with the blood of God. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Forgiveness. It comes through his grace. It comes at a price, and it produces love. Verse 42, when they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more? And Simon says, well, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. That's right, Simon. Forgiveness produces love. And the more a person is forgiven, the more that person loves. Jesus wants you to come to him. Jesus wants you to learn from him. That's encouragement number two. And encouragement number three, Jesus wants you to learn from her. Learn from the woman. Learn from this unnamed immoral woman. And turning verse 44 toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. That was hospitality 101. That was customary when people would come to your house. They wore sandals and there were dusty roads and you would wash their feet because their feet would be dirty. And you gave me no water, Jesus said, for my feet. You didn't show me hospitality 101. But she has wet my feet with her tears and has wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. Oh, that's hospitality 101. You kiss your guests when you bring them into your home. But since the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil. Yet again, hospitality 101 in the first century. But she anointed my feet with perfume. Do you see this woman? Do you see all that she's done, Simon, for me? Have you seen her tears? Have you seen her broken heart? Have you seen how she's poured out from her alabaster box that very expensive perfume and she's poured it out on me? Do you see her? Wow, you and I can learn so much about worship as we see her and what she did. As she took the Lord at his word, come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen, what made the difference for her? Why is she such a picture of worship? A picture of a woman who pleased God. Why? Well, number one, she was extremely aware of her sinfulness. Extremely aware of her sinfulness. And everyone there was extremely aware of her sinfulness. Her sin was all outward. She's a prostitute. Everybody knew she was a prostitute. And you can just imagine what she had been doing and the sin in her life. And her sin was all outward. Who was she? Well, she's the one that owed 500 denarii. And she knew it. Who was Simon? Simon's the Pharisee. He's the good one. He didn't recognize that he owed anything. Why was her worship so accepted? Because she was so aware of her sinfulness. Are you aware of yours? Isaiah, when he was in the presence of the Lord, he was so aware of his, and he cried out and he said, woe is me, for I am undone. Peter, when he was in the presence of the Lord and saw Jesus do that great miracle where he said in Luke chapter 5, Peter, go out into the deep water and cast your nets out and get a catch. And he said, Lord, we've been fishing all night and have caught nothing, but at your bidding, I will do it. And he did what Jesus said, and he threw out the nets, and they caught so many fish that the nets began to break. And when they finally got the nets of fish in the boat began to sink. And in the midst of all that, you know what Peter said? It dawned on him who Jesus was. It hit him like a truck. And he said to Jesus, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. He was aware of his sinfulness. Are you aware of yours? Not only was she aware of her sinfulness, but she was extremely grateful for his graciousness. See, these go hand in hand. When you're aware that you're a great sinner before a holy God, when he bestows grace on you, wow, wow, you're so grateful. And she was so grateful because God would have mercy on me. God would show kindness to me. God would forgive me for what I've done. That doesn't compute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And there's gratitude that just flows out of a heart that owes 500 denarii and he graciously forgives. You know what the secret in the Apostle Paul's life was? The Apostle Paul, arguably the greatest Christian who ever lived. The Apostle Paul, God used him to write so much of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul who founded churches in all these cities. The Apostle Paul that God did miracles through and led multitudes to faith in Christ through this man's life. What was the secret? What was the power source of his life? He knew that he was a sinner saved by grace. He was blown away that God saved him. He said, the Lord considered me faithful. He put me into service, even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet because of God's mercy, his grace was abundant and he saved me. And Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am chief. I'm the chief of sinners. What's the secret? Why are you such a powerful Christian, Paul? Because I've never forgotten that he saved me. I didn't owe 500 denarii. I owed 5 trillion denarii. He saved me. I'm the chief of sinners. Let me tell you the danger for you and for me, for anyone in any church who's been a Christian for any time at all. You know what the danger is? The danger is you lose sight of how much you've been forgiven. Why? Because a lot of the big outward sins in your life, they begin to fall off. And you think, well, I'm pretty good now. And you begin to trust in your goodness. And you begin to become like Simon the Pharisee. And you begin to pray prayers, not verbally, but kind of in your mind, as the Pharisee prayed in Luke chapter 18. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on all that I have. What a good boy, a good girl am I. Man, that is the danger for all of us. We can so easily become like the elder brother in the story of the prodigal son. And we get this idea that we're entitled to God's favor. We're entitled to blessings. That God is lucky to have us. Man, it's only by grace that we can come into the presence of the Lord. It's only by grace. You want to keep your life on fire for the Lord? You remember, I'm the chief of sinners. I am nothing. It's only by his grace that he would receive me. I'm blown away. As George Beverly Shea used to sing, there's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder as sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Does that still blow you away? God loves you. She was extremely grateful for his graciousness, and she was extremely expressive in her loving adoration. She couldn't contain herself. She couldn't hold it back. It was just being poured out. And the most expensive thing that she had was that alabaster box. The alabaster, they would get it from Egypt. It looked like marble. And it was expensive, and the perfume was expensive. And she poured it out on Jesus' feet. Why? Because of what he's done for me, because he received me, because he's forgiven me. I don't care what people say about me. I don't care what they're whispering about me. I'm coming to him who is worthy of all my praise, all my love, all my adoration.
The grace that brings true heartfelt worship causes us to focus on the Lord and not on anything around us. Pastor Jeff returns with some poignant last thoughts on this subject in just a moment. You know, God has done incredible things through your support this year from His Heart, including touching so many lives with the truth of God that few will speak on public airwaves. Jeremy wrote to us saying this. He said, I am so very thankful for you and the stands you take, Pastor Jeff. Your messages truly speak life to me and give me real hope. How awesome. Thank you for preaching the truth. That testimony and many more come in day in and day out, and it's because of the faithful, financial support that we're able to be here every day. Pastor Jeff's a volunteer for this ministry, receives no income from it. Everything you give goes to support the outreach of this ministry on 840 radio stations now across the country. December is a critical month for us, too, and we have set a goal of $350,000 to help us sustain and expand in 2020. If God has used this broadcast to bless your life, you can help bless others when you give to us this month. And if you give by December the 31st a gift of $25 or more, we'll send you the new year-long devotional book, The Heart of Worship. Call 866-40-BIBLE. That's 866-40-BIBLE to make your gift. Or simply go online to fromhisheart.org. You'll learn to enjoy true worship as you spend time with Jesus in meditation and praise and prayer. And thank you for having a 2020 vision for God next year. Well, now let's conclude the lesson called The Grace of Worship. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
Years ago, there was a concert at Royal Albert Hall in England performing the Hallelujah Chorus. And there was a man in the crowd, and he was so touched as he watched, as he listened, as he thought about the words of the Hallelujah Chorus, and the tears just began to stream down his cheeks. And a person was next to him, and that person was looking at him funny, and the man became aware that this person is looking at me and probably thinking I look ridiculous weeping during this song. And instead of drying the tears, he looked at that person and he said to him, "That's my Savior they're singing about. That's my Savior that they're singing about. The wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me, that Jesus would die for me. Wow." You pour out your loving adoration. John Piper has said this: the engagement of the heart in worship is the coming alive of the feelings and emotions and affections of the heart. Now listen to this: where feelings for God are dead, worship is dead. She felt it. There was emotion involved because the Lord had touched her at the deepest part of her heart. As David said in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." All of my emotions involved in worshiping the Lord. I'm not halfway in, I'm all the way in. And this woman, we would all agree, she was all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. He who has been forgiven little loves little, but he who has been forgiven much loves much. How much have you been forgiven?
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve today. And we've just heard a great lesson from this story of the woman who came boldly, without fear, into the Pharisee's banquet to worship the Lord who had brought her, who had given her, the grace that she didn't deserve. Listen, is there anything on earth that would keep you from going to such lengths to worship your Savior? Well, there shouldn't be. We hope that these lessons from Pastor Jeff and the Heart of Worship series are helping you to understand where you are in your worship growth, and also help you learn that there is much more waiting for you when you give your worship heart over to Jesus. If you missed part one from this message from last time, or any message that you may have missed this month, you can always go back and listen again once it's aired when you go to fromhisheart.org. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Larry Nobles, and we hope that you'll be with us on Thursday for the next lesson in Pastor Jeff's series, The Heart of Worship. Be with us tomorrow for the lesson, The Warfare of Worship. That's when, again, we'll open up God's Word to share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.